It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. When Reverend Alex G. puts a ceremonial shovel in the ground later this month, he's hoping to persuade more black people to stay in Wisconsin.
He says a lot of black people leave Madison and other Wisconsin communities because they lack a strong sense of belonging and of cultural connection to the state.
G. is the co-founder of the Center for Black Excellence and Culture, which has its groundbreaking scheduled for Juneteenth in Madison. And his vision is for the center to provide a physical gathering space to fill that need.
Reverend G is also lead pastor of Fountain of Life Covenant Church in Madison. He founded the Nehemiah Center for Urban Leadership Development. Reverend G, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It's really exciting to be here. It's good to be in the studios again.
Now, can you describe the Center for Black Excellence and Culture and your vision for what it'll be?
Oh, sure. It's this beautiful 37,000 square foot facility that's going to be situated on Madison's south side. And it is a place for revitalizing black culture, community development, leadership development, innovation, creativity, in order to make Madison feel like a place of greater belonging for its black population and the state, for that matter. This is space that's really been set aside that reinforces a deep sense of cultural identity. The lack thereof is one of the major things that black residents and professionals who move to Wisconsin or who are in Wisconsin working lament. They move to other areas, not only because of weather and climate, but because there are greater places for cultural reinforcement, which is important to them and their children.
This is the product, as I understand it, of years of conversations people sharing these stories. Can you talk about the conversations you had that helped develop this idea?
Sure. Well, I can remember having some of these discussions when I was a college student at Wisconsin in the early 80s, because people who are not from Wisconsin, black people not from Wisconsin, always talk about how this feels like a different place. And I don't think I understood that until my first trip to Detroit as a UW-Madison recruiter in admissions office. And I went to Detroit and I went to a mall and everyone, Radio Shack staff, Allstate staff, every store was black. I felt like I was having one of those Twilight Zone moments. And I said, now I understand my brother-in-law when he says Madison is different, because I'd never been in a place where or space where I was the majority. And so people leave Madison because it's difficult to feel that sense of belonging, because that cultural reinforcement helps you to feel seen and respected. And it means that you're not an anomaly and you're not an oddity. And so having cultural space that reinforces our identity and our sense of belonging here in Madison is one of the things that I think will keep people here longer. And that's what came out of the conversations. If I had a place to take my children, if I could meet other people, if I could make sure my children understood the richness of our culture and not just the slave trade, that would help me to thrive here. And so this has come out of conversations involving over 1,000 black folks in our community saying what they needed. And the number one need wasn't more social services. It was a sense of cultural reinforcement.
You and I have talked in the past about Wisconsin in general, Madison in particular, as being not great places for black people. A lot of measures, health outcomes, educational outcomes, housing access, the list goes on.
Exactly.
And on. Do you see this center as something that's going to help deal with a lot of those big issues we've been talking about for so many years?
I think it'll help with part of it. It certainly won't change infant mortality rate or mass incarceration rate. But what it will do is it will slow the black brain drain that we're experiencing in Wisconsin. So I think the people who could help to speak into the issues, create new solutions, who otherwise would stay here in the state of Wisconsin, move on to other places, because it is so difficult to be here. And it's not as if Wisconsin is just so hostile, like crosses are being burned on your lawn. But in this day and time in 2024, many of my colleagues are still the first and the only on their boards, in their neighborhoods, on their jobs, in their entertainment spaces. And now, when you want to go out and socialize, you are still the first and only. So we have to stop that bleed from somewhere. And when the individuals who normally leave because it's just too much, when they stay, it increases the pool of people who could sit down and say, how do we address this? How do we prevent this? What can we do to bring greater attention to this? So by keeping more of those folks here in the state of Wisconsin, it just helps us to build a stronger team of people who are creating solutions and alternatives.
You mentioned a black brain drain happening in Wisconsin. Obviously, this center is directed toward black people, but do you see a benefit for the state at large, everybody else, if we stop losing this potentially important sector of our population?
Oh, definitely, because I think all of the state is really wrestling with how do we really live up to our state motto of being forward if our approach to race relations is backwards, anything but forward. Other communities are wrestling with the same thing, La Crosse, Whitewater, Milwaukee, they're struggling with how do we make this attractive to black people as well. And so I think that it will change things in that more people will stay and will help to make Madison and greater Madison and Wisconsin more attractive. But again, the more people we have here around the state being a part of the solution, being mentors, raising their children here, sending their children to college here, buying homes here, all of that is what you need in order to make this a truly diverse and welcoming state.
Now, getting back to the Center for Black Excellence in Culture and some of its goals, you wrote in a piece, this is a while back in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that you want to fill in a lack of what you call life after work opportunities
Exactly. Black
people miss around Wisconsin. What do you mean by that?
When I travel to places, D.C., Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, that have large black populations, it's nothing to go out to a black jazz club, coffee shop, wine shop. And again, there's just a sense of reinforcement where you feel like folks here understand me. They know what I've been through today. They know what I'm going to go through. It's like when you're out of town and you bump into someone wearing Badger gear or they're wearing Green Bay Packers colors. You just sort of feel like, hey, that's my people. I can strike up a conversation with that person. When you have those kinds of spaces, it gives you a chance to feel like you really belong. And then you can let your hair down, so to speak, and relax after a day of being the first and only. But if in your social life you're still trailblazing, you're still answering questions about can your hair be touched, or being asked if you saw some major news headline having to do with black people. There's a lot of things that's going on in the world, but rarely will people walk up to me, strangers, and ask me about something that's truly worldwide. It would be something really focused on, did you hear what Jesse Jackson did, or did you hear what President Obama said? And so we have to balance that off, because if people don't have a chance to unwind, they'll always be uptight. And then that we now are learning that has health implications. And so if there's no space to really let down your hair and to relax and to connect and to recreate, it's just too costly here to stay in Wisconsin, and people opt to live other places. So this will give people the chance to have downtime to be refreshed so that they can reengage the reality of state demographics so that we can become a part of the solution.
You mentioned this as an aspect of well-being, and you've said wellness is going to be a major focus
Definitely.
Of the center. And in that Journal Sentinel piece I mentioned, you wrote, a physical place like the center can improve health outcomes for black people. Connect the dots.
Sure, by relieving stress. What we have learned, particularly through the University of Wisconsin's Medical School and School of Public Policy, that there's a connection between the stress that takes place when a person of color is navigating streams that are mainly white. The code switching, the innuendo, those things cause a level of stress that show up in diabetes and hypertension, two diseases which can be indicators for the onset of dementia. So many of the health inequities are rooted in stress, which means that they are diseases that can be avoided or overturned if you just change your stress levels and exercise and worked out differently. So now my big push is not just finding a place for black people to hear black music and eat black pastries. It's really about living longer lives. That's what the excellence part of our name really means to me. So for me, the big opportunity is, how do we help the quality of life of black people who have been who have a legacy in making Wisconsin better and great for everyone, yet we're dying sooner than our white counterparts, largely due to stress. That's unfair, and that's undue pressure.
There's been a reaction to various elements of whatever you want to call it, diversity movements, DEI movements lately, along the lines of, when you focus on a racial group in this way, you're actually heightening the division. You're drawing a deeper line between, say, black and white in this case. And some listeners might be thinking, well, is the center going to be doing that? Is this somehow divisive? How would you address that concern?
First of all, that's not true. When a person walks into an ER because they've had an accident, no one says, well, you're just focusing on their illness and that makes them more sick. No, we need to isolate them. That's why they walk through the ER doors and not the front door or the door of a clinic. What's happening with populations of color in this country, particularly in the state of Wisconsin, are methodical and they're systemic. And unless we isolate them and take a look at them, we never will address them. And if we allow systems to be built and racism to persist so that a group of people have different economic outcomes, health outcomes, academic outcomes, then we say we can't focus on those things now. It's like putting people in an environment where they're forced to live with secondhand smoke, and then we refuse to give treatments for tuberculosis or lung disease or any other pulmonary diseases. If we continue down this track, we're going to create a great problem. And we're not trying to put more attention just on Black people. We're trying to put attention on where attention has not been placed. We're trying to bring people to the table. We're not trying to elevate them among others. And if Black people don't have space, like the center, to recalibrate themselves or to recombobulate. I think that's a sign I see in the airports
walking
now.
Airport,
yeah. And I love that sign. I love that word. I hope I'm saying. Am I saying that right?
Recombobulation area. They call
it. If we don't recombobulate, we will always be off kilter. And so for me, it's frightening that we can be discombobulated for the past 400 years. And when we try to get our stuff together, it's called wrong or illegal. So I would say to you, anyone else who's listening, it is erroneous and it is harmful to think that by focusing on a group that is systemically lacked and not due to its own lack, to say that now we can't make the injured party whole is creating a whole new reality for generations to come. And I don't want to be any part of that. I'm trying to avoid that by doing the work we're doing.
We're talking about the new Center for Black Excellence and Culture. Groundbreaking coming up later this month on Juneteenth, June 19th. The
yes.
center's founder is with us, Alex G., lead pastor of Fountain of Life Covenant Church in Madison. Now, I know groundbreaking is just coming up. You got another year before it's open. I know the particular programs aren't set yet, but take us on a tour of the spaces and the kinds of things that are going to happen in the center.
Sure. I will say this. During the 18 months of construction, we're going to be holding events in the community to give people a foretaste of what the center will be like. So we had a Black Artist Expo last December. We had workshops teaching Black youth how to audition for plays. But there will be programs when you walk into the center for seniors and for intergenerational connections. So for seniors to read to kids who are involved in programming and vice versa. There will be an educational program so that school districts can bring all children to the center to understand and learn about the contributions of Black folks to the state of Wisconsin. There'll be two theaters in the space. So during the day, there'll be performances that children will come to. I'm sure there'll be local businesses that will rent out the conference rooms and the auditoriums for their meetings. There'll be artistic maker space so people can come and work on their craft. Business incubator space so those same artists can, once they finish creating art, there's another area within our facility where they can work with mentors to put together business plans or figuring out how do they sell their art online or how do they get their work contracted. There'll be a library, there'll be an art gallery. And so there'll be places to stimulate our thought, places to create with our art, nooks for coffee. There'll be a coffee shop. We'll have a liquor license. So there'll be a bar for receptions for weddings that we'll host. It'll be just a great gathering place that allows us to be our best in this community.
And Reverend G., as we wrap up, for you personally, you've been working on this project for years, above and beyond your actual day job. What does it feel like for you to be, at the, it's not exactly the finish line, but at this critical point of you're about to break ground on this?
Well, it feels so wonderful to be able to create a civic entity that will be respected and visited from all around the state. Because, with our touchscreens inside this space and artwork and tribute stories, we're really talking about Black influence and Black first from around the entire state. And, in my work as a pastor, we often think about what does life look like outside the four walls? And to do something that's not for our church, not just for Madison, but for the entire state of Wisconsin, by looking at the great contributions of its Black population, feels like I'm contributing on a huge level, and I'm standing on the shoulders of so many great men and women who have given their lives for this state and would love nothing more than for their descendants to feel that they are equally Wisconsinite, means a lot to me. So I feel a lot of responsibility, a lot of pride. I've got a lot of bruises on my legs from pinching myself and asking, is this really happening on my watch? So I feel very fortunate to be in this role and position and can't wait until the entire community and state can celebrate the opening of the center with us.
Reverend G, thanks so much for joining us in the studio.
It's my pleasure being here. Thank you for inviting me.
That was Reverend Alex G, lead pastor of Fountain of Life Covenant Church in Madison and founder of the Center for Black Excellence and Culture. You can find more from our conversation online at WPR.org.